All of us need healing at different times, different ways. We think about that. Maybe some people are here or even not here today because they're down with something. We all go through that. And it's clear when we open the Gospels, Jesus is all about healing. It's one of the reasons thousands of people flock to follow Christ, that he healed many of things that had never been done before. Nobody had cured leprosy. Nobody had made a mute man speak or a deaf person hear, or nobody had ever risen someone from the dead, as Jesus did in Nain for the widow's son, or as Jesus did in Bethany when Lazarus was risen from the dead. And as we open this book of the continuing work of Jesus, we see that the healing through Jesus is going to continue through the apostles. And of course, the weeds of the discussion are, what about today? And we'll take a thought about that as we move further into the text. But this morning, we're going to shift apostles, having looked for a little while at Paul, apostle to the Gentiles, we now shift back to Peter, apostle to the Jews. And so Acts chapter 9, verse 32. Now as Peter went here and there among them all, he came down also to the saints who lived at Lydda. And there he found a man named Aeneas, bedridden for 8 years, who was paralyzed. And Peter said to him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ heals you. Rise and make your bed. And immediately he rose. And all the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him, and they turned to the Lord. Now there was in Joppa a disciple named Tabitha, which translated means Dorcas. She was full of good works and acts of charity. In those days, she became ill and died. And when they'd washed her, they laid her in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, hearing that Peter was there, sent two men to him, urging him, please come to us without delay. So Peter rose and went with them, and when he arrived, they took him to the upper room. And all the widows stood beside him weeping and showing tunics and other garments that Dorcas had made while she was still with them. But Peter put them all outside and knelt down and prayed. And turning to the body, he said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand and raised her up, and then calling the saints and widows, he presented her alive. And it became known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And he stayed in Joppa for many days with one Simon, a tanner. Lord God, we are excited to read these words of your power, your love, your compassion, your goodness to your people. And we know that you are the living God. You are the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so we want to hear from you through your word, how you are with us and how you are faithful to your promises. Speak to us, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to say two main points. First of all, to talk about healing that is sure. And healing throughout the Gospels is a sign of the kingdom of God. Jesus said in Luke 11, if I drive out demons by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is in your midst. And so a theme of Jesus more than 100 times in the four Gospels is talking about the power of the kingdom and the presence of the kingdom. And one of the important things to know is that when Jesus is there, He is the king. So the kingdom is in their midst. He'll say that to them. The kingdom of God is in your midst. What does that mean? It means the king is in the house. It means Jesus is right there. And so they can trust and know that the rule of God, the power of God is among them. And when he is, he can do whatever he wants to do. And sometimes it's quite miraculous. And in our study of Acts, we've seen in chapter 2, many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. We saw in chapter 5, people brought the sick into the streets and laid them on beds and mats so that Peter's shadow might fall on some of them as he passed by. And so we've seen already wonderful things that God has done in the lives of these people in Jerusalem. And now we've seen the gospel spreading beyond the borders of Jerusalem. And here in our text, we see a double miracle. We see deliverance over disease and deliverance from death in this person, Ananias, and this woman named Tabitha. So he starts in Lydda. Do you see it there, verse 32? Lydda is about 25 miles northwest of Jerusalem. Interestingly, the town of Lydda is where the Tel Aviv airport is right now. And so it's right there in the land of Israel. And he meets this Aeneas, who, as we see in verse 33, has been paralyzed in bed for 8 years. And then he'll go about 10 miles further over to the coast of the Mediterranean to Joppa, which is where the journey of Jonah began hundreds of years earlier. And probably when Peter went all the way over to Joppa, although it's not that far, but it was a completely different culture. It was the most foreign land that Peter had probably ever traveled in his life thus far. So we see verse 36, there in Joppa is Tabitha. And in verse 34, we see Peter's words to Aeneas, "Jesus Christ heals you. Make your bed and rise. Rise and make your bed." And he does the same thing in verse 40, "Tabitha, arise." So Peter is really influenced by Jesus, isn't he? Remember the stories of Jesus. Sometimes he'd clear the room and pray for the person, as Peter did there for Tabitha, and kneeling down and whispering her name. It's also like Elisha. Remember, Elisha healed the Shunammite's son. And the same sort of method was used. And God's power shows up. But it's also interesting how Luke not only emphasizes the miracles, but even the mundane. Here's a woman, Tabitha, Dorcas, is different Hebrew or Greek renditions of her name, who was a seamstress. And understandably, her friends said, "Wow, we need this lady. You know, she kept us styling. She kept us looking good. We were all dressed nicely because of her gifts." And so Luke just tells a regular person, nobody all that special. And it's interesting in the Gospel of Luke and in Acts that when Luke talks about a woman, he'll talk about a man. So we meet Aquila and Priscilla, Ananias and Sapphira, Simeon and Anna. He'll tell of a shepherd who has 100 sheep and loses one. And then he'll tell of a woman who has 10 coins and loses one. So Luke is very woman-friendly in his presentation of the gospel. And he tells the miraculous in the context of the mundane, the ordinary life situation. And he ultimately is emphasizing here that we're just servants. The power is not from Peter. The power is from God, and Luke makes that clear, even in the way Peter interacts with this woman. And they want Peter to come to bring not his power, but as an apostle, to bring the power of Jesus to their places. And we can see how God works through the situation. And this healing. But did you notice one interesting thing right at the end, verse 43? Remember, Peter's off there into that foreign international place called Joppa. And the last word in the Greek, which I like the way the ESV does that, the last word in the English is the word tanner. And you know what that is, taking care of the skins of the animals, right? Skinning them and tanning them and making cool leather stuff out of them. And you say, yeah, that's all good. You know, with all these pigs around here, we should have a lot of tanners. But the problem is, that's unclean. You got to be dealing with these dirty animals and defiling yourself. And so unclean, not just physically or medically, but unclean according to the Jewish law. So what he's saying in kind of bold way is Peter is out there. He's beyond all the traditional boundaries and restrictions of Jerusalem's ritualistic religion, and he's just hanging in the home of a tanner, which he would have never dared do. Remember that for next week, because he's going to enter the home of a real unclean person, and we'll see how God stretches the boundaries of the kingdom, even by the boundaries of Peter. But one thing that is very important to see in the healings of the Bible is they are spontaneous. They are unscheduled events. Verse 31, it talks about the church enjoying this time of peace. And verse 32, Peter's traveling. Just interesting the way it describes it. He went and on this visit, not thinking he'd be meeting people that needed healing. And I emphasize that because when we think about healing in many church settings today, we think about a schedule. Next Wednesday night, we're going to go down and have a meeting, and the band will be playing, and then we'll be healing here. Well, just to say, that never happened in the Bible. Every healing that happened in the Bible was unscheduled and spontaneous. And it'd be interesting to, challenge a little bit. Why are we scheduling it? And isn't it just, not to be too negative, but when these meetings of healing are scheduled, they're never scheduled in a hospital where there's a bunch of people that might need healing. Usually it's a hall or an auditorium where you can freely collect money. get the point there. So the meeting itself is somehow a different thing than what we're going to see here. Peter randomly, spontaneously, unscheduled, meets these people who are really, they're not actors. Verse 33, Aeneas, a paralytic who had been bedridden for 8 years. These are the words of a medical doctor. So he knew what all that stuff was. And verse 37, she became sick, Tabitha, and her body was washed and placed in an upstairs room. If she was asleep, that washing and that bumping her up the stairs, that awoke her up. She'd wake up through all that. So she, no more waking up. She's dead. Maki died dead. She's really dead. And so they are people that are in need of God's healing. So verse 34 and verse 40 have the same word in them. Get up. Get up. And at that word of God spoken through Peter's mouth, Aeneas is better, and Tabitha wakes up. This was God's amazing work. In fact, verse 34 says, immediately Aeneas got up. Verse 41 says, he called the believers and the widows, and he presented her to them alive. So what a bold declaration. Peter said in verse 34, Jesus Christ heals you. Get up and take up your mat. It's a miracle from God. Get up and make your bed. Now I would think there's a parent here, maybe more than one, who've been trying to tell kids to get up and make their beds for many years, and you haven't seen it yet. Jesus Christ has the power to get him up and make his bed. He made it. It's a miracle from God. And basically what he's saying in make your bed is that old life is over. You're not a beggar anymore. You're an industrious member of society. You're involved, you're engaged, where you've got a new power, a new ability to go out and work. But you wonder, out of 25 miles up to Lydda, here's this guy that needs a healing, 10 miles over here to Joppa, here's a lady who had died, why them? Peter undoubtedly would have walked past a lot of other people that needed healing. He would have walked past a lot of other people who just died. Why in the providence of God were that man and that woman on the radar of the apostle? Why not everybody? Or for that matter, when Jesus walked the earth, why wasn't everybody healed? Well, Paul writes in Romans, oh, the depth of the riches and the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable his judgments, and his paths are beyond tracing out. Who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor? But for some reason, in the sovereign plan of God, these two individuals were chosen to receive healing, which of course was temporary. They didn't get eternal life. They're going to die again. And we're not told a lot about them. We learn a little about Tabitha and her love and charity. Aeneas, we don't even know who he is. We don't really know even if he's a believer in God. We just know he was a paralytic who got healed by Jesus. But it's a demonstration of the power of God. The psalmist says, what God is so great as our God? You are the God who performs miracles. You display your power among the peoples. With your mighty arm, you redeemed your people. And so we see this healing that is sure. The second and final point of the message is a hope that is certain. And we see this healing event in the first century church. And of course, we would ask ourselves, what about the 21st century church? Is this something we should be expecting? Certainly we need it. Can we do anything about this? Can we make this happen? Well, I think we need to see a couple things. First of all, Peter, like all of us, was a servant of God. His position was assigned by God as all of our positions are. He wasn't a superman, a miracle man. He was a called fisherman to follow Jesus. And you imagine, think about this, as he's walking that 25 miles up to Lydda and those 10 miles over to Joppa, he walked past a lot of pastors. He walked past a lot of other church leaders. There were small churches already growing in those areas. What's with Peter? Why is he the big enchilada that needs to be the guy to come and I'm going to bring the healing here? Probably some of those other guys were a little jealous. What about my ministry? What about my gifts? Well, I believe there's a reason why Peter was the instrument, because he was an apostle of Jesus Christ. Paul, the apostle to the Gentiles, will say, these are things that mark an apostle: signs and wonders and miracles. So Paul tells in 2 Corinthians 11 that these are the things that apostles do. 2 Corinthians 12:12. So the reason I think that the apostle was the healer was because this apostle was the author of Scripture. It's a sign. It's, hello, look at that guy. Not because he's the guy, but because of the office he holds, he's speaking authoritatively for the Lord Jesus Christ. He will write two letters. He is the man behind the Gospel of Mark. Mark was not an apostle, but Mark was a disciple of Peter. And Peter will be the source for Mark to write this first gospel called Mark. So Peter himself was not anything special. In fact, one author writes, Peter is not a shaman or a magician, but an earthly representative of the living and powerful Christ. He himself will write in his letter, 1 Peter chapter 5, to the elders among you, I appeal to you as a fellow elder. Not a high position, a fellow elder, a witness of Christ's sufferings, and one who will share in the glory to be revealed. And another important thing we see is, as I've mentioned, that this was a spontaneous event. Peter didn't get a word from God. There's somebody, you got to walk up 25 miles and hit that guy. You got to go 10 miles over. He's just kind of rolling. Oh, they want me to come over here. Oh, okay. You know, he's just walking in the Spirit. And as God instructed him and led him, he meets these man and woman in their unique need. But we do need to emphasize that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus is not changing. Jesus still is the power of healing. Jesus still is the Savior of the world. But we also need to see that throughout the story of the Bible, there are different episodes of God's working that are unique to other episodes. In other words, when Jesus and Peter are hanging out, Jesus says, "Hey Peter, gotta pay the taxes." You go, "Oh yeah, tax time." Jesus says, "Why don't you go fishing? And you get a fish, and there'll be a couple of coins in there, and you pay your tax and my tax." That really happened, but it only happened once. Peter was probably fishing every tax time, looking in the mouth of that fish, but it didn't happen again. So God uniquely does things at different moments. God fed the children of Israel, remember, for 40 years. Their clothes didn't wear out. The manna from heaven, the quail from the skies came down. They were having 40 years of free lunch. But what happened when they went into the promised land? The manna ended, and they worked and tilled the ground and did what everybody else does. No more free lunch. So God doesn't change, but God's interaction with his people is the same. What should we do now when we get sick? Well, you're completely free to do whatever you think is best. I'm not, going to tell you absolutely what you do, because I'm not a medical doctor and I'm, not over you in that way. But I would say it's probably not necessary to run around and look for the greatest healer on earth. Some people do that. I've met people do that. I remember when I pastored in Hilo, a very sick lady got a flight over to Honolulu and went to a Benny Hinn conference, and Benny Hinn got her up on the stage, and she came back glowing. In fact, her family was telling me all about it. She'd been healed. 2 months later, she was dead. I don't know where, God is always working, but it doesn't seem the norm for sick people to run around and find, these power spots of where the healing is. The norm I would recommend is in James chapter 5, is any of you sick? He should call the elders of the church and pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the person well. The Lord will raise him up. If he's sinned, he'll be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other and pray for each other that you may be healed. Within those verses, James 5, verses 14 through 16, I think we see four things. I think we see pastoral care for the sick, people who know them, who can share and love and counsel and encourage. I think we see confession. I'm not saying every sickness is directly tied to sin. John 9 says that's not true. But sin doesn't help us, and the wages of sin is death. So if you are not right with God, you probably need to make things right with God, whether you're dead or you're alive. Being right with God is always a good thing. And I think applying oil in the name of the Lord can be literally done. That's not a bad thing to do. We can have a ceremony, put oil. But I also think there's liberty to interpret this as medicine. That oil was, in the sense, medicinal to even the first century. I think God is using medicine. When we lived in China, we sometimes would get Chinese traditional medicine. It doesn't matter whether it's East or West. It's just stuff. God is the healer. And that's what James wants us to remember. But then also, the fourth thing you see there is prayer. And that's never a bad thing, because we always need to get closer to the Lord. We always need to draw near to him. We always need to repent of our sin. We always need to be filled with the Holy Spirit. But did you notice the success there? Verse 34 in our text, Jesus Christ heals you. Who doesn't want that? I do. 35 years ago, we lived in Uganda. And we had a beautiful house on the campus of a theological college. And we had three little boys. And I decided to put a swing in a tree that was over our yard. And I'm up in the tree, and Joseph, the milkman, who's about 17, African kid, rides his bicycle. Their college had cows, and we got milk from these cows, all the people there did. So we got the milk, and Joseph's looking up. He goes, "I'll help you." So he climbs up in the tree and fell down pretty far. And he didn't respond. And I got my truck, and Dana climbed in and held him. And at the same time that this episode 35 years ago happened, I was reading a book by a guy named John Wimber called Power Healing. I wasn't a great fan, but I thought, this is a popular book, let me read this book. And John Wimber's thesis was, you can heal, you can heal. And I just thought, thank you, Lord, for that book. And I just, driving down, crying, praying, took him to the hospital. It seemed like they kind of stabilized him, and it looked good. And we had things to do, and we went back later the evening to see him, and the bed was empty, and he was dead. Still makes me, you know, you think you're just trying to do a kind deed for your kids, and a guy dies in your yard. Not good. I was shooken up. I read Psalm 103, "Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases." Amazingly, his family came to comfort us. He came from a strong Christian family who loved us, and we cried together. And we look for a new heaven and a new earth. The first heaven and the first earth will pass away. There'll be no more death or mourning or crying or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. Physical healing, which can certainly come at any time God wills it, is only going to last for a while. Aeneas was going to die. Tabitha was going to die. I'm going to die. And you can put the pieces for yourself as well. But notice that's not the point of the story. Look at verse 35. "All the residents of Lydda and Sharon saw him and turned to the Lord." Verse 42, "It became known through all of Joppa, many people believed in the Lord." That's why these stories are here. It's not just, "Oh, wow, isn't Peter great? Isn't it great to get an extra 10 years of life?" Well, sure it would be. But the purpose of these healings is to exalt the Lord Jesus and to show us that the gospel is moving now through Lydda and Joppa and the Ethiopian going down to the court of Candace and people in Samaria and all around, that God is at work. Dorcas and all the handiwork, she wasn't finished. David Livingstone said in Africa, "I am immortal until the will of God for me is accomplished." Isn't that a great phrase to hold on to? I am immortal. I won't die until the will of God for me is accomplished. In other words, God's got you. For as long as you are needed in any way for others, for the kingdom, for the gospel, And God is sustaining. And so we need to see that this is God's at work here. People talk about Mother Nature or, you know, the spirits or whatever. This world is God's world, held up by God, by his supernatural power. And a miracle does not require any more power from God. It's not like, oh, there's more power there. No, a miracle is God just changing the way he does things. Instead of letting the consequence of death take its natural course, God suspends for a moment that consequence. God's working through those situations. And please understand that a miracle is not everything that happens. The sun came up today. It's a miracle. No, it's not. It's God's natural order that he set this world in. I had chemotherapy and my cancer is gone. It's a miracle. No, it's not. It was the medicine doing what it was designed to do in the body that you have. And thank God you get a few extra steps in the life of this world. It's God himself doing it. Praise him. Glorify him. Everything good comes from his hand, but not everything is a suspension of the natural order. If everything is a miracle, then nothing is a miracle. And we'll just be constantly miracled out. The miracle's uniqueness is that God does it in an unusual way, suspending the normal flow of the world that we live in. And praise him that he's still doing it. I'm not here to say miracles are over, because God is not over. But I am here to say that God is working even in the normal course of things. The sun will come up. This cold weather will end. That God's healing is happening. And so what we can see is that God's working through all kinds of ways. People talk about Christians as just, you know, thinking thoughts and no practical good. Before Jesus came into this world, there were no hospitals. Now, there were doctors, there were family caregivers, but nothing for the poor, nothing for those alone. But everywhere the gospel is gone, medicine and hospitals have followed. And the sign of healing in this world is a cross. Before Jesus came, there were no orphanages. The world was full of orphans. The Greeks and the Romans simply threw them out, exposed children. If you didn't want your kid, no problem. Throw him away. That was simply what the Greeks and the Romans and even the Egyptians did. It was Christians that took these discarded kids and raised them in the love of God. Before Christ came, there were no leprosariums. No, who would touch a leper? Jesus touched lepers, and so did his people. Before Christians came, there was no disaster relief agencies. There's never a case in all of Roman literature of people taking up a collection to help someone. But God did, and God's people, even slaves, gave. And so all of the gospel, there was no common education before Jesus came. Were there tutors and scholars and books? Sure there were, for the rich people, for the elite people. But when Christ came, education became for all people in many societies. And so in many ways, the reality of the power of God is seen. And God is working through these situations. And today, we're not alone. The Muslims, the Buddhists, the do-gooders, everybody else, there's a lot of people that want to do things. Thank God there's a lot of generosity and a lot of theological positions. But none of those other groups have an answer for for dead people. You're dead, you're done. Peter stands by the bed of a dead woman and says, "Get up," to show that the power of God transcends death, that Jesus Christ alone is Savior, that Jesus Christ alone is the resurrection and the life. And so we do all these things, and we should keep doing all these good things. But in the end of the day, it's the gospel that makes people alive. It is Christians who've gone into the cities of the world and who've hunted out the poor, the young, the sick, the uneducated, and enabled them to be something other than their destiny would have chosen for them. This is just biblical religion. And here was Peter, a poor fisherman, and Dorcas, a humble seamstress, doing exactly that. James Boyce. So may God help us to realize this is true. Jesus Christ heals you of all your diseases, Psalm 103, verse 3. And it might be immediate. You might be healed immediately by the hand of God. It might be mediate in the sense of a doctor's care and drugs and the process of prescriptions and all of that. Or Jesus might heal you in heaven of all your diseases and give you a new body and a new life, as he will do to all those who trust in him. Lord, I pray that you'll help us to wait on you for your healing. You love us, and we are weak and broken and struggling with all kinds of stuff, but our hope is in you. And we realize that our home is not forever here on this earth anyway, but our home is with you as well. So help us to live our lives responsibly, to get as much out of these old bodies as we can, but to live with the greater hope of your kingdom. And help us to be about your kingdom and its gospel and its worship and its witness, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.